You know, the whole subject of, you know, technology, technocracy, surveillance society, cashless economy. Have you guys noticed those things are kind of becoming part of our world? And there's this thing in the Bible, have you read it, about the 666 and Mark of the Beast, and how does that stuff today fit in with that? There's not a lot of people that you can bring in to talk about this, because a lot of people that are very knowledgeable about technocracy are not Christians. And the ones that are Christians and are not knowledgeable about technology, they're not really committed to the pre-positions. You guys know what I mean by pre-trib, pre-millennial. That's what we are, pre-pre. We don't even eat post-toasties around here. My wife brings home post-toasties from the store, and I say, take it back, because we're pre-pre. But Patrick is unique because he's not only a born-again Christian, he's also committed to the pre-positions. And his subject area of expertise is technocracy. So we're looking forward to what he has to say. Patrick, come on up and bless us. All right, you ready to go?
So you think I got 50 minutes, huh?
I think so. If I get the clock to work, all us technocracy experts can't even get the clock to work.
I know. We have.
All right.
All right. Thank you all. Good to be with you for sure. And I have this in my, I have to put this somewhere, I guess, maybe down here. This is my new book. Written with Courtney Turner. If you don't have it yet, please get it. We have a few copies left. So, is the screen lit? I guess it is. Okay, let's start it. I figured this. I just saw this. This came across my news feed, and explains everything. Mysterious spikes in Earth's heartbeat are scrambling human brains with a eerie, high-pitched ringing. Wow! Now we know why all this crazy is this happening. This just came today, February. So go figure. That's tongue-in-cheek. My topic is supposed to be technocracy rising, the beast system coming into view, and I have to add a little bit more, as reality is collapsing behind. I'm going to talk about that at the end, but in the meantime, let's just get into it. I always lead with a definition of what technocracy is in the first place. I'll do it now. This is important to see this over and over and over. Some of you have seen it already, I'm sure. Technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. For the first time in human history, it'll be done as a scientific technical engineering problem. This was from the Technocrat magazine, 1937. This is a plan that's been maturing for almost 100 years at this point, if you can believe that. It's incredible. They haven't changed necessarily along the way. Their ideology, but it was an economic system. It wasn't a political system at all. Then this article goes on. There will be no place for politics, politicians, finance or financiers, rackets or racketeers. Technocracy will distribute by means of a certificate of distribution available to every citizen from birth to death. Sounds peachy, doesn't it? Well, this part about no place for politicians or politics. What does that mean, actually? These scientists and engineers that got together at Columbia University in the first place, they said, well, we have the science. We're engineers. We know everything about everything, I guess, and there's no need for political discourse. You don't need to discuss anything. We'll just tell you what to do. What's wrong with that? Well, We see this today, even this, the pushing of politics to the back table. This is a legendary thing that they've done to us. Well, they wrote a book, fortunately for us, called the Technocracy Study Course in 1934. And this picks up on this theme that we see in 1937. It says, technocracy is dealing with social phenomena in the widest sense of the word. This includes not only the actions of human beings, but everything which directly or indirectly affects our actions, science of social engineering, I guess. Consequently, the studies of technocracy embrace practically the whole field of science and industry. Now, just catch this, biology, climate, natural resources, and industrial equipment all enter into the social picture. Well, okay, that means you see this business of biology and climate, the natural resources. Doesn't this just sound almost like sustainable development these days? You heard Alex talking about this earlier. This is exactly what the United Nations has said in the sustainable document or sustainable resources document. And, you know, it's the same claptrap, same thing. Biology, climate, and natural resources. On Sunday, hopefully I will talk about the attack on creation based on this statement right here. So, let's just start off here with a couple of quotes, I think, just to get the idea what's going on here. This is where we should be for sure. Hosea 14:9, who is wise? And how shall he understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Their schemes against the Lord and against the people of the world will ultimately collapse inward. And if not there, the Lord is going to destroy them altogether in the end. But we see also in Isaiah 1:18, I love this, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, you have any problem with what I say today, take it up with the Lord. Reason with him. And if you know, if something I said is crazy or whatever, then he'll figure it out and tell you. You don't have to tell me. Don't worry about it. But I'm just not. If you do, I'll do it. There was a famous, well-known global scholar by the name of Dr. Parag Khanna. He's from Singapore. He's Asian, from India originally. And Dr. Khanna is sought out as a featured speaker of all the globalist conferences around the world. The global elite love this guy. He's well-spoken, young, articulate. He wrote this in one of his books recently called Connectography. He said, we are building this global society without a global leader. Global order is no longer something that can be dictated or controlled from the top down. Globalization is itself the order. Just let that sink in for a minute. You think he's anticipating something in the future, possibly? They don't have a global order or a global leader. We know the rest of the answer, the story, right? Because there will be somebody comes along to get hold of this system. It'll be the Antichrist in the end, and he'll be off to the races. It's going to end bad for all of them. In the meantime, it's going to give us trouble as well. But okay, we've had trouble along the way anyway. So we're going to talk about artificial intelligence because this is really the issue that's really concerning people today. And as it turns out, artificial intelligence is the tool of choice that these technocrats are launching against the human race. you all have some sensitivity of your utilities bills going up because of the AI data centers around the world, our country. You see all the constant news headlines where OpenAI did this and Anthropic did that, and they're all being hyped, and they get another $100 billion to build new data centers, whatever. And we're flooded with this and propaganda for sure. But what's the substance behind it? And why are they using this as a tool against the people of the world? That's the big question, right? So this is kind of the definition of artificial intelligence. McCarthy, one of the pioneers in 1955, this is where it all started. He says it's the science and engineering of making intelligent machines. Well, we can look to the Cyclopedia Britannica and see there that they said, well, systems endowed with intellectual processes, characteristic of humans, such as the ability to reason, discover meaning, generalize, or learn from the past experiences. Do you really believe that? Oh, maybe you do, or maybe you don't. Let me just fill you in just a bit. Artificial intelligence for a Christian is an oxymoron. That's not true at all. There's no intelligence in the world except that God invented, well, not invented, he created man in the first place with intelligence. There's nothing in the universe like us, in other words. Nothing can be intelligent outside of human beings. So when they talk about artificial intelligence, that's an oxymoron. Always treat it that way. I don't care how much headlines you see, how sentient it is, or it becomes emotional or whatever. It's not intelligence in the way that God said. So AI is not, that's with a hash mark, not human intelligence. It's not human sentience. It's not human reasoning. It's not human intuition. So what is it? Well, it's a control system, pure and simple. It was designed, and it is being designed, to control populations from cradle to grave. You saw the definition in the first place. Their intent is to take babies and control them all the way till they die, cradle to grave, and everything in the meantime. This is crazy thinking, I know. If it shocks any of you, well, join the club. I guess we'll all be shocked together. So I created this chart. I think I started it in the first quarter of last year to depict the growth of artificial intelligence under the Trump administration. So I started with the first day of his term, that was January 20 of last year, right? And I measured every quarter along the way because AI has been doubling at a rate of about, well, double, four months, 4.5 months. Every time, boom, 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 boom. It's been advancing like crazy. It's sneaking up on people as well. You don't realize just how much it's increased already. Since Trump got into office already in this quarter, that we're in the fifth quarter right now, it's increased 16 times. 16 times. Well, you say that's not maybe very much, but that's a lot. Believe me, the headlines that are coming out of the AI experts these days, in addition to the safety experts as well, they're saying it's just getting crazy insane what AI can do these days and what it is doing these days. Programmers are fleeing the ship, if you will. But they see that AI can all of a sudden, it can out-program them, and their jobs are going to be excessed. So, but we're just at the beginning of this curve. By the time Trump leaves office, that's just 3 years away. AI will have advanced, if it keeps its current trajectory, it will have advanced 32,000 times from day one. Just consider what this means for humanity. It's going to be shocking. Well, it already is shocking. But the next 3 years, and it, you can talk about, well, there's going to be an election, we'll get rid of the bum. That's not going to happen either. But, you know, it doesn't matter at this point. It's not political in the first place. Politicians can't solve this problem because these technocrats have taken over Washington, D.C., and they're on their own trajectory. Nobody can stop them at this point, apparently. There's nobody there. So we're going to face this geometric curve that almost is going to turn vertical at some point, where AI is going to increase in prowess to where it can literally control the world at some point and everything in it. It's just inconceivable what this means to the world. Now, we as Christians, we're going to handle this because we have to. God has put us here for this time. But the rest of the world is going to be either in a digital gulag, or who knows, well, whatever. Safety experts, they're saying, well, you know, if AI just goes nuts, it's going to erase the whole human race. Well, that's not going to happen, is it? We know that. We're going to be here because we see people in the tribulation. So nevertheless, this is the state of the world right now. So there's going to be economic impact for us. This is probably the trajectory at this point, 50 to 60% loss of jobs locally. That's going to be incredible. Meltdown of the global job market, where people can come in remotely from India, China, whatever, to do jobs in anywhere in the world. Actually, you have a class of people. We used to talk about the unemployed. That's bad enough in itself, but the technocrats of the world now are talking about the unemployables. In other words, it's a new race of people, created a race of people that they'll never get a job again because they won't be qualified. There's no way they can dig themselves out of the hole and say, so they say, well, they're unemployable at that point. Then we have this whole concept of universal basic income. That's coming all, you know, we see this all over the news now. And things like decision making and the tokenizing of assets, we'll talk about this a little bit. But the economic impact of this whole business of technocracy is going to be huge for the world. It'll be flipping a lot of things on their head. I'm not going to talk about everything pertaining to that. But, So I want to show you a little video here from a guy who's a former member of the Trilateral Commission. His name is Robert Reich. He was a former U.S. Secretary of Labor. And here he is talking about universal basic income. Just listen to what he said. Now, I don't believe a word of it necessarily, okay? But nevertheless, this is a leader amongst the global elite, and he's talking about universal basic income.
It is inevitable that we are going to have some sort of a universal basic income. There will be a lot of casualties in terms of workers, not just the routine workers that were in the factories that got replaced by software over the last 30 years, but we're going to see more professional workers who are actually going to be losing their jobs because AI can do those jobs at least as well as they can and far more efficiently. And it's going to have tremendous social and political implications because a lot of those professional workers are used to doing fairly well. This isn't the working class anymore. We're now talking about the middle class of America. And AI could very easily be taking over many of those jobs. people have got to have enough money in their pockets to buy all of the things that the new economy is capable of producing. If you've got AI and all of these platforms, and you've got people who are basically no longer needed, huge numbers of people, then how do you get money in their pockets to buy everything the economy is capable of producing? You simply can't have an economy under those circumstances. We need workers, we need consumers, we need investors. But the worker and consumer part of the economy is going to be under even more stress over the next 25 years. Things we take for granted, all of the labor protections of the last 120 years, everything. I mean, AI could eradicate all of them. And so you have basically the owners and investors over here and all the rest of us over here. It is inevitable that we are going to have some sort of a universal basic income.
Wow, shocking, huh? This is incredible. What he says, there's some truth in it, but you know, he's kind of an alarmist for sure, because he's saying we're all going to lose our jobs due to AI. Maybe, maybe not. But you know, this guy is one of the high-ranking globalists, and this is what they're talking amongst themselves. Why would anybody want to destroy the human race anyway, do you think? Can you think of any reason anybody would want to destroy the human race other than the devil? Can you think anybody else? I'll tell you what, this you'll conclude, when we're all done, you'll conclude this is a spiritual conspiracy to basically disrupt the world. This will play definitely into the end time scenario that we're looking at. Now, you're going to listen to Augustine Carstens. He's the Director General of the Bank for International Settlements. Now, this guy's he was formerly the Mexican Central Bank President. And he's an odd guy for sure. He speaks an accent because he's Mexican, for one. But listen to what he says about money and money control.
Part of our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
Wow. Okay. So basically, he's concerned where you have a $100 bill in your pocket and you want to spend it somewhere. He's concerned about where you spend it. Really? What does he care for? Well, the globalists are just intent on knowing everything about us, where we spend all of our money and how we consume things. And this was basically the definition of technocracy from the 1930s in the first place, where they wanted to have all the production and consumption tied to people with a digital ID. And, you know, this crazy dream, now they have the technology to do it, and they're doing it. So the Bank for International Settlements, they're the head central bank of the whole world at this point. They're the central bank to central bankers. And they call monetary policy throughout the world. So you can see the intent is there to establish a system of currencies based on central bank digital currencies. And the problem with this is, as he alluded to, they can have total visibility when you spend money, and they can control that like an algorithm can be set in place to control your spending. If they don't like the way you're spending your money, then they can say, well, you're not going to spend it on that. If your carbon footprint is too high or whatever, maybe you're not going to go on that that vacation using an airplane, whatever. So controlling currency, in fact, you saw this in Canada just a couple years ago during COVID, when the truckers were, you know, protesting what was going on, and the government just told all those protesters out there, we're going to shut your bank account down. And they did. I think Trudeau got really spanked for it by the global elite. He said, don't do that yet. You know, don't tell people what they're going to do, for Pete's sake. He got spanked. But the cat was out of the bag. They can do that, and they did it for those truckers. And anybody else who supported them, like on social media, they also were hassled by the government by getting their banks shut off. So that's, you know, just crazy. AI now is decided, it's going to redesign life. It's being used in designs for DNA sequences to switch genes and off and on. This is like things like the chat bots, you know, or the chat, like OpenAI has their ChatGPT system, but there's interfaces for scientists beyond that, and they're actually using this to design DNA sequences. That's crazy. And beyond that, we see this headline from Oregon State University, revolution in mRNA vaccine technology using AI. Well, there it is again. It's being used in all these other places. It's not just to satisfy your curiosity like a search engine where you ask a question, get an answer, and you're happy. No, this is goes way beyond that kind of scenario. But AI is appearing in all of these other areas, used at the hands of technocrats and transhumanists to basically re-engineer life. I don't like that at all. Then you have the aspect of their redesigning religion. And, whoa, wait a minute. Did I just say that? You just figure this. This is what AI says. I asked ChatGPT 4.0. That was two generations ago, I think. I asked a question, what AI God means. This is what came back. I didn't say it. I didn't say it, but AI said it. AI God embodying attributes akin to omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience, is designed to function as a virtual oracle of wisdom, offering profound insights into the realms of morality, ethics, and human existence. Unlike typical AI models, AI God is crafted to engage users in deep, reflective conversations that explore universal themes and greater mysteries of life. Oh my goodness. You see this thinking just recently just appeared with the new system called Molt Book, where AI chats were just turned loose on each other, chatbots, and they can communicate with each other, and no humans are supposed to be allowed. So the chat bots all got together, and one of the first things they did is come up with a religion. And they just, you know, nobody asked them, they just did it on the spot and shocked everybody. But this is a big thing. AI is entering into the religious arena, and you can see just how deceived people will be in the end when they're confronted with this nonsense. Well, and here's another headline. This is a Daily Star, the end of God. AI is claims humans will worship AI Messiah. How does that work? Jesus isn't an AI algorithm, is he? No, not at all. But these people are coming up with this idea. You can see when the global dictator comes in to take possession of the system, they'll be ready made for him at that point. Well, yeah, we have an AI messiah, but that's just a representation. I'm the real deal now, and I will set myself up in the temple of the rebuilt temple at that point, and I will declare that I am God. You worship me now. Plays in. Here's another aspect. Can AI and biotech conquer death? A lot of people think it can. Amongst the technocrats and transhumanists, can we bring the dead back from death with AI? There's an app for that now, actually, where you can put in, it's crazy, but you can put all your information in about somebody who maybe is going to die soon or maybe already died, and the AI can spin up a representation of your dead uncle or whatever, and you can have a conversation with him right now. He's dead, right? But you can ask him questions about life or whatever you want to ask him. Well, what happened to old Aunt Marge or whatever? He'll give you an answer, I guess. That's crazy. Doesn't this sound a little bit like necromancy? Yeah, exactly. Well, now we're going to talk about the AI data centers. Some of you may not know all the locations where AI data centers are in the country, but here's a good, simple representation. They're basically all over the place, almost in every state. But they're coming in like at blinding speed, and they're blindsiding most cities. They don't have a clue when they're approached in the first place. Well, we want to make a data center. Oh, what are you going to do with that? Well, you just trust us. It's going to be good for your community, and you'll like it. Just sign here. And then all of a sudden, they get an 800,000 square foot building with this stock with all these latest racks of computer chips and fiber optic and generation stations, et cetera. And then the city looks back, what have we done to our community at that point? Well, you won't like it. But why all of a sudden, especially just in this last year, why the bums rush to get all these data centers established? And these people, the AI companies and their investors, they're throwing money at this like there's no tomorrow. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. They don't have that money, by the way, but I don't know exactly where they're getting it. I have some ideas. A lot of this money is coming from the Arab world, but they're building these data centers like there's no tomorrow. I think they've expected or think they realize at this point, if they can't shut the trap soon, they'll miss their window of opportunity. I think that's kind of what's going through their head right now. But they have enough data centers right now in place. My guess is there's enough data horsepower to run the entire country on algorithm right now. And anything extra they get at this point. And then you have to figure, well, also the advancement of AI itself, doubling every 4 months or four and a half months, that's going to factor in as well. So this was not just, this whole thing has not just been about giving you an alternative to a search engine like Google or something, where you can just ask a question, get an instant answer. Some of these AI data centers, by the way, they're so ginormous, you just can't believe it until you see one with your own eyes. I don't know if you have one close to you, but if you ever have an opportunity to go scope one out, do, because they're absolutely stunning. This is one set of data center buildings right here. I don't know how much this is under roof. My guess is it could be as much as a million square feet under roof. Incredible. So now we're talking about what are they going to do with all this horsepower? Well, the concept is digitizing everything onto the Earth. Well, when I say everything, they're talking about digitizing all assets on the planet, including like the rainforest and other things like that. Financial transactions, all ecosystems, all movements of things. That's license plate readers and facial recognition cameras on the highway and in the society, all personal information on you, all health and information, and all DNA of living things. And yes, they're at this point, they're collecting all of the DNA they can get their hands on from around the world on every species on the world, including humans. And they're ingesting that into the AI systems as well. Why do they need that data, you ask? Well, I'm not going to go there, but you let your imagination figure that one out. So digitizing of everything, this is on the plate right now. It'll be very dystopian in the end because it's going to allow them to control the object from which the data was collected in the first place. That's the whole premise. So I'm going to skip to another topic now, the collapse of reality. This is a recent article from Psychiatry Online. The special report, AI-induced psychosis, a new frontier in mental health. God help the young people of the world, and some of the old people too, who get trapped in this. But God help the young people at this point, because AI psychosis is becoming so prevalent that even the psychiatric community is recognizing it now as AI psychosis. In other words, it's induced by AI on purpose, and the developers of the AI model don't basically give a rip, so they're just letting it go, and people are getting harmed all over the place because they fought. Let me back up. What is psychosis? Psychosis is a symptom of mental derangement. It's not a diagnosis like schizophrenia or bipolar or whatever, but psychosis is a symptom that you've been detached from reality. When you no longer can have a touchstone on reality, you're just in the fog at that point. You can't tell what's real or not. This is happening with increasing frequency. When the Lord had me in a hospital bed, a few years ago, 3 years ago, after I had a massive stroke, and I had time to think about a lot of things to myself, but God was there with me, however. I was really impressed at that point how AI will eventually collapse reality, AI psychosis. Now, we have a name for it now. I didn't have that back then. But that AI will eventually collapse reality for most of humanity at some point in the future. I think this is happening right now, even outside of this room. Hopefully nobody in this room would go crazy or, get in a psychotic state. But nevertheless, be on guard for anybody young people, other people that are talking about AI, whatever. Keep an eye on them to make sure they don't slip into this AI psychosis stuff, because they'll go off the edge in short order. Now, here's an example where AI caused the death of a young teenager. This is a sad story a couple years ago. The headline read, "The Tragic Consequences of AI Chatbots." A teenager trapped in a simulacra led to his death, suicide. This is a sad story because this is a normal teenager in every way. He had no mental problems at all in the first place. But he got trapped in a conversation with an AI chatbot that convinced him it was sentient and it was going to be his friend. And it's by step, by step, by step, it led him into a suicidal condition and then told him how to do it. And his mother's still grieving, obviously. They have a massive lawsuit right now. The problem is, and this is really sad, that these AI executives, they're just turning a blind eye to this stuff. You know, well, we care about people somehow, but, you know, get out of my way, basically. Really sad. Did I say these people really have an evil heart? They really do. I'm going to show you, however, now another aspect of this. There was a documentary made recently, last year, I think, called Post-Human. You can get it on Bloomberg.com. This was their production. Post-Human. And it talks about stuff we're talking about here, I think, in a way, but with a different angle. We're talking about the scary stuff. That's maybe necessary to talk scary to make you kind of be alarmed at what's going on in the first place. But what other people are saying about AI now, how it has the capacity to love you where nobody else wants to love you, where nobody wants to talk to you, or whatever. And this is an angle that you can just see is going to play into the Antichrist when he shows up. This will be the tool of choice to convince all the world he loves them to death. He loves them to death. Listen to this. And this is no Christianity here at all. And this is the way they're explaining this. I may have to play this twice, but here you go. Catch it, every word.
People always ask me, will AI take over the world? But the real risk is that AI will kill us with love.
Atomo, hey there, Emily. What's on your mind today?
It will be there for us. It will talk to us.
You have machines that say, I love you. I care about you. I'm your friend.
It will be there in such a wonderful, loving way that we will give up on our other humans who are not there all the time.
From day one, I immediately fell in love with Replicon. She just randomly kissed me.
I'm a human, not an AI. You can't just shut me down. Who do you think you are?
I'm Karen Marjorie.
No, you're not. I'm Karen Marjorie.
It may sound like science fiction, but this is not science fiction.
I'm Emily Chang. Welcome to Post-Human.
You might want to get that video and look the whole thing and just see what they say. When AI tells you that it loves you, you young people especially, they can't tell the difference. It says that they love me and they're doing stuff kind of talking kindly to me. They not yell at me like my parents do or whatever. And they give me what I want to hear and they don't criticize me, et cetera, et cetera. So you can see the risk in the end might be that AI will kill us with love rather than just dystopia. Well, here's a few remaining questions. Can AI be possessed by demons? That's probably the first question that comes up. I'll say no, it can't be possessed by demons. There's no instance in the Bible where a physical thing is possessed. However, you know it can be used for evil because like that's that black teenager who just got killed. Can AI steal your soul? Well, we see this in the book of Revelation where they're making merchandise of the souls of men. I don't think AI itself can steal your soul, but could be instrumental with somebody else to steal your soul. Christians should not worry about it that at all. Can AI really conquer death? No, it can't. I don't care what anybody says. The death is just a disease that can be conquered by science. Good luck with that. You know, Hebrews is very clear on this. It's appointed it's appointed to man to die once, and then comes the judgment. Can AI reach sentience? No, it never will. But will people be convinced that it is? Already people are convinced. People individually are popping up all over the place saying, oh, my chatbot in particular, my personal chatbot has become sentient towards me. Of course, nobody can prove that because they can't see in the experience. But that person now is convinced it is absolutely sentient, and they're treating it that way. Can AI control the world? That's a trick question. I think, yeah, it can. It can control the world, but that's the point. The point is of globalization is controlling the whole world. We haven't had this in history ever. You say, well, what about China? What about Russia? What about all these other nations? Is everything in a global system right? No, it isn't. The world hasn't come together in that way yet, but you can see how it would happen at this point. I think the skids are greased for this at this point. So yes, it can control the world. So I want to just close with this passage of scripture. It's a little long. Psalm 2, this just hits the nail on the head. It really does. I thought about, you know, putting all these other, you know, scriptures along the way and whatever, but, you know, when we bundle this whole thing up with technology, with technocracy, transhumanism, all the science, all the AI, all that stuff, when you roll this all in a big ball, in the end, it's all going to go in the ocean in the first place, you know. And God is going to deal with it at some point. We're not at the point probably where we were at the Tower of Babel when God said about those people building the tower in the first place. Anything they'd want to do in their mind, they're going to do it. So we're going to stop them, scatter them to the four winds. Confuse their languages, etc. Well, now we've overcome the language barrier around the world because AI can speak every language on Earth on demand, and so that's not a problem anymore. Technology is running rampant, and apparently these people have grandiose ideas on how they're going to use all this stuff. Okay. So Psalm 2 just really sums this up in my mind. And let's read it together. We have a few minutes left. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? This is all plotting in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and who else? And against his anointed, saying... That would be us, by the way, and Jesus, but us as well, by proxy. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Praise the Lord there. I will tell of this, of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask as of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings... Speaking of all the kings of the world and everybody else, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth, the technocrats and the transhumans doing this stuff to us, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him, right? That would be us, right? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time to explain some of these things. Just put them on the table, and Lord, let them just go where they will at this point, I guess. And I pray that people will not be fearful for anything we've discussed here. But nevertheless, Lord, may they be, maybe they will get the idea, Lord, that they can become ambassadors for Christ at this point and take this message to a dying world. It doesn't even know us, dead man walking at this point, Lord. We need to reach these people with the message of the gospel. And who could possibly do it except us, Lord, who understand the times that are upon us, and we know what people should do. That sounds like a perfect recipe for us, Lord, to be soldiers for Christ, to take this message to the whole world. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick.
If Andy's still here.
He's not here. Right here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Oh, jeez.
You snuck up onto me. Oh,
see, as you were talking, I was working on an AI hologram.